Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just 15 bucks a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hello and welcome to White Wine Question Time. Joining me today are two of Britain's most loved reality TV winners, women who have turned what could have been 15 minutes of fleeting fame into successful long-haul media careers. First up, she was the first female winner of Big Brother UK back in 2002, who's gone on to carve out a career as a DJ and is now hosting the Virgin Radio Drive Time slot. She's also launched her own podcast, It's Brilliant. It's called Maybe Baby, and she hosts it with her fiancé, Bodge. The premise of the podcast is simple. He wants kids. She's not so sure. So they're talking to friends like Alison Hammond, Russell Kane, Vogue Williams and Spencer Matthews to help figure out whether or not children factor in their future. Welcome, Kate Lawler.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Joining Kate is Candice Brown, a former PE teacher turned winner of 2016's Great British Bake Off. She's arrived today with a veritable buffet of pastries, thanking you for that. She's also appeared on Dancing on Ice. She's released a cookbook called Comfort, still available, and is now the proud proprietor of the Green Man Pub in Evershalt in Bedfordshire, which she runs with her brother. Well done, you. You don't rest on your laurels,
oh,
do you?
No. That's why I've got bin bags under my eyes. But
Girls, thanks for coming on. I love an unlikely friendship, and yours is a modern friendship in as much as it started on social media, am I right? And then tipped over into real life, when and how?
Well, I think, do you know what? It's one of those things. I watched Kate on Big Brother and just absolutely loved her. And I think I speak for a lot of people when they say her series was probably the best, the funniest.
Oh,
a girl after my own heart. When
it was a hard watcher because there was Jade Goody in there as well. Yeah. It was a vintage year.
It was a vintage year. We get that a lot, vintage year.
And then a couple of weeks ago, well, it's August, we were at an event together and she was there with Bodge and the dogs. And I was just like, Yes. Like spending time with their
internet friend.
Yeah. Like proper and what was the, cuddles.
Was the fangirling mutual cake? Because you're a big Bake Off fan, aren't you?
Huge Bake Off fan. Favourite show on telly.
It is, isn't it?
So I wouldn't have known that you watched Big Brother and, like, do you know what I mean? Fangirled, as it were. But I did the same with Candy. So I watched Bake Off every year and I was like, oh, she's great. And I thought she got a really hard time, which I thought was very unfair on social media because people are awful when it comes to a baking show where people are literally baking cakes and biscuits. What is there to be angry about? What, do you know what I mean?
What were they angry
They're not
about?
Politicians. They're not changing the world. Yeah. Oh, people are just vile.
Yeah,
people
it was
are
a
so
funny
mean.
One,
you got,
wasn't
you
it?
Got a lot. You got a lot of love.
I got you a lot. I did. You know what? I got a lot of love.
But just
but I got,
trolls.
God, I got a lot of. Shit, I've got a lot
Did
of stick.
You?
Yeah, like
that's on, a lot to take on board
like
when
all
you just
day,
love baking
every
and you're a
day.
Teacher.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I got death threats. Someone threatened to, I got threatened to be raped. I got threatened to be murdered. They use me as an example of how bad trolling can get, which I find it is quite funny, but also I am also human and sometimes it would really, really get to me. Got a little bit much, but then my family took it on board. My family and friends took it on board to see. They played the game how long into the next episode it was before someone on Twitter would call me the C word. So my friends and that would all get involved and message me calling me that.
Being,
and I'd
why
love.
Were people being so...
Because I wore lipstick or how I spoke.
Because you wore lipstick.
Yeah, I wore lipstick, how I spoke, what I wore, because I was smug, because I had shit teeth, because... And that was hard. And I used to think, gosh, I don't smile. And probably one of the reasons I do pout is because I never liked my teeth. So... That was that whole reason for that. And it was just, it was weird. It was more, the time when it got to me was, I'd come out and I think, oh, that was a good episode. I did really well. And then I'd be absolutely hammered. And I'd say, I remember saying to Liam one day, I think it was Tudor week, and I'd got Star Baker. And I was just like, on his chest, we used to have like all the families to watch together. And I'd just say to him, but I thought I did really well. And he was like, just ignore it. And then other times I can brush it off. But other times it's just to think, God, what have I done? And it's one of those things, though. The blokes never got it. The blokes never got accused of doing anything with the judges to win. But, of course, 21st century, you wear lipstick or a pair of heels and instantly you can't do it off your own merit or hard work. It's
And you did really well.
Reason.
You were... You,
I bust my ass on that show.
That's why you won. You were a great baker, an interesting character. You came across so well. And everybody... You know, when you put yourself out there on television, on radio, you're not going to be in everyone's cup of tea.
No.
But that doesn't mean that trolling can, like...
No, absolutely.
Trolling just needs to stop.
Did you watch the Jesse Nelson documentary recently?
Heartbreaking.
I didn't because I knew I'd get upset.
Yeah, it
tears your heart to pieces because you think, my God, what is wrong with you people? And what was the most surprising thing for me that came out of that is a lot of you think, oh, who are these coward keyboard warriors?
That's what they are.
Actually, a lot of them turned out to be when you break down the demographic, they were like grown women with children.
And known people as well, which is just disgusting.
Trolling comes a lot from women, which is a shame because in this day and age, women should be supporting women.
Yeah.
Totally.
Women should be encouraging, like we should be shouting
Absolutely.
About our sisters in a positive
you go
way.
Straighten your friend's crown. Yeah. You don't knock it off.
Well, I used to call some of the people out. I'd never ever be nasty or mean back because it's not in my nature to do that. And that's probably the one thing that gets me. People would say, "Oh, she looks like a bitch," or "She looks like those bullies at school." And I'd be like, and that'd be
awful.
The thing. And I'd be thinking, "You've got no idea. That's as far away from what I actually am."
Jessie Nelson, who's just finding out who she really is in life. God, I just wanted to go and hug her.
And you know what? It was just, I think, watching that, actually, it was the bit where it should have been the best time of her life.
Totally.
And she has never watched any of it. She doesn't think about it because what should have... And the other girls were living their best lives, having one X Factor and everything, and she was wanting to die.
She was living her worst life.
That. And you just think, oh, like, these people have got a lot to answer
for. I would love
to
see those people behind those comments sit in a room with her.
Yeah.
And defend themselves because do you know what? They couldn't.
My favourite defence is when they go, it's just an opinion. No, you're just being bloody horrible. That's not an opinion.
Mm-hmm. And my nan always used to say, if you've got nothing nice to say, don't say anything. Because we can all go scroll through social media or see someone on telly and think, God, he's annoying, or she's this, or she's that. But you would never think to write it down in a tweet and then at the person
send it
and
to
slag them off.
But arguably, that's why you two have gone on to win what is arguably a modern day popularity contest with the shows that you've done. Obviously, baking was a massive deciding factor in yours, Candice. But the fact is, an audience got behind you and supported you because you're nice people. And I think that still wins the day.
It's the overriding.
I think that fundamentally, human beings are nice.
I think it's really funny as well, like obviously Bake Off, because it's all done and dusted, and it really was, and it is still down to the judges on Bake Off. Like, people would say, oh, so-and-so's better, but actually you are as good as your last bake, and I think it's one of the shows that is, whereas obviously Kate had the public getting behind and the voting and things, whereas our thing, because it was pre-recorded, people then formed this opinion that they were hoping in some way was going to alter the effect of what had already happened. So you just get people going, oh my God, I've got Candice in the sweepstakes. I used to think, ha ha, just wait, matey boy.
That must have been really interesting for you because you know Candice doesn't win.
Yeah, sure. You wait, because you're going to be laughing. Nod. But for me...
Exactly. You're having the last laugh.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And you are now. Look at what you've done with your life off the back of these shows, ladies.
So lucky.
You're doing the jobs that you love.
So lucky.
And I love to see that.
Yeah.
Especially all these years on Kate Lawler, you must be like the Obi-Wan Kenobi of reality TV stars.
I went on coach trip recently and I was the oldest person on the coach. And I think it was Scotty Special from Love Island. He was like, Kate, you're like old school reality, like, You're like the queen of reality. And I was like, I'm not the queen. Vicky Patterson, who was on the coach, is like the queen of reality TV. But he kept mentioning that I was old school and that I was like original reality TV. And I guess I kind of was part of that original reality TV crew. Did make me feel old though. Gee whiz.
So, Kate, first question. I based it around Maybe Baby, your podcast. You're struggling to make a life-changing decision with regards to whether or not you want to become a parent. Mm. But I want to know from both of you, what previous decisions have you both made that went on to become life-changing?
Oh, blimey.
Good question.
Thanks, Kate.
Good question.
I'm meeting a cronut. You keep talking.
You keep eating. Do you want to go first or shall I?
You go first. Go on.
Well, I guess Big Brother. When I auditioned for Big Brother...
And second series, right?
Third. The second series had been on with Brian Dowling. He won. Craig won the first.
Yeah.
I thought, when they offered me a spot in the house, I genuinely was like, do I do this? And I spoke to my parents and they were like, if you don't want to do it, don't do it. And it was a real kind of battle because I was thinking my life could change forever. But if I don't do it and I watch this series and it's great, I'll forever be thinking what would have happened. So I guess
what
that was
were you doing
biggest...
with your life at that time?
I was working in an investment bank doing IT support. I was so bored. Really bored. I'd moved to Japan 6 months before. 9/11 happened, moved home because I went with my ex-boyfriend who was moved out there. And then his company lost so many people in the 9/11 Twin Towers tragedy. So he was moved back to London and we were meant to be starting a life in Tokyo. And that just didn't happen. And I thought, right, what am I going to do now? So I applied for Big Brother because I went back to the investment bank. I was going to go and teach kids English in Tokyo. And then I came back to London and I was like, what do I do now? And my sister was really into Big Brother and she said, you should do Big Brother. She was the one that was into it. So I watched the two series on DVD that had been on previously. I was like, yeah, this looks great fun. Live in a house, DOS for 9 weeks, potentially win 70 grand. I can buy a flat.
Get a tan.
I can, yeah.
There's a hot tub.
Yeah. Meet loads of cool people,
sounds
potentially
amazing.
Find a boyfriend. that changed my path, I guess, and changed what I did as a career because I was on my way to, I wanted to go down on the floor and start trading.
Did you?
And that's what I was going to do, yeah.
Have you ever done the big charity day that you do every year to commemorate 9/11?
Yeah.
And where you go onto the trading floors? I went in this year and did some big deals. I loved it. But I was alarmed by how few women there were.
Oh, really?
Really, yeah. And I met one female trader and there were four other women that I saw that day and they were all in assisting positions.
Wow. Oh. I think there wasn't... Did you watch the Kathy Burke series recently? And there was a woman who was freezing her eggs and she said she worked on the floor. I think she mentioned about the split between men and women, which really surprised me because back in the day it was more or less the same and I thought that would have... It would have been more equal now.
Has not prevailed. So really, crazy, that big move back after post 9/11, that was kind of the beginning of a game change for you. And then deciding, sod it, I'm going to do some reality TV and see what happens. Was there any plan at the end of it? Did you think if I do that, it will take me to?
The plan was to go back to my old job. I came out and said to my dad, my old boss Jeff, he's keeping my job open, and my dad said, so you don't understand what's happened for the last 9 weeks. We do. Like, you genuinely cannot go back to work.
Because you have absolutely no idea, do you?
No, you don't. He was like, you can't go back to your normal job. I don't think it's going to be possible. So I went and met Brian Dowling's agent. And they were like, we could probably get you some work in TV or radio if that's what you want to do. I was like, why not? And I guess the next life-changing decision I made was choosing to take a job in Birmingham at Kerrang Radio. Kerrang Radio, Rock Station. I went up there.
Yeah, I would never have thought of you for a Kerrang.
At the time, after hearing that voice, I'm like, yes. She did the actions as well.
I mean, I do. I was an indie kid when I was in my teens, but at the time I took Kerrang, I was DJing techno in nightclubs around the world. I was like an electronic music DJ, and then I took a job on a rock and metal radio station. But that was, I was torn. I was like, do I take it down? I said, do I move to Birmingham and get away from this hedonistic lifestyle where I was a complete mess before Kerrang. I was going around the world DJing, doing all the partying, doing all the alcohol, doing all the fun stuff that comes with that. I was a mess. I was an absolute mess.
So you needed to kind of get a grip.
I thought if I take this job and move to Birmingham, I could sort my life out. But a lot of my friends were like, but you don't want to go and live in Birmingham. I was like, this is a job. You don't understand. Like, I could sort myself out. At one point, I said no.
Did you feel like you needed to save yourself from yourself a bit?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think back now, if I'd have said no to doing that job, what I'd be doing with myself.
What do you think?
I don't know. I'd been in a very dark place, I think. I thought to myself, right, at that point, I was 27, and I said to myself, do I want to be DJing in nightclubs to lots of people completely off their kajagoogoo when I'm 40? Or do I want to be settled, living in a house, maybe get married or whatever? And I thought to myself, I just don't want to be living that lifestyle when I'm older.
It's got quite a time limit on that sort of lifestyle, hasn't it?
Yeah. And don't get me wrong, I know loads of DJs, male and female, who are still travelling around the world.
My son is a techno DJ.
Of course. I met him.
Yeah.
I met him at a festival recently.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was DJing at Eddie Temple Morris' festival.
Oh,
Mistress Mary. And I was like, oh, hi. Nice to meet you. Fan. A bit starstruck. But you do, you can do it if you are... Like,
but he would be the first to say, God, I'm on at 3 a.m.
Yeah.
Let's have a sleep first. Yeah.
Little disco nap.
Yeah, a little disco nap. Yeah.
I remember when I was dating him, we went to... I can't remember where it was now. I mean, we travelled a lot. It was wonderful. You know, we were child-free. Life was good. Not that life isn't good with children. And we would fly off to all these different places. And we got picked up by a promoter... I think we're in somewhere like Puerto Rico, I don't know. And this guy comes over and he goes, can I get you anything for the gig? And I went, I'd love a beanbag. Just so I can sit under the... Like, what I meant was, because I'm jet-lagged, with the greatest of respect, I've heard his sets a lot. There's no lyrics, I can't sing along. And I just want to go under the sound desk and just... I'll have a little nap while he's playing, and then all is good. And he obviously thought it was code for some sort of new drug. Right? So he's going, oh, my God, I have no idea where we're going to get beanbags. And I'm like, Argos, Amazon online.
Oh, my goodness. How funny is that?
I thought I was just like, you know, I found some new drug.
Of course they did. Brilliant. I mean, you're...
To ignite the dance floor.
Yeah, exactly.
I just wanted a kip.
Did you get the beanbag?
No.
No, devastated.
Got a big cushion. I still had a nap.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
How?
I managed to sleep through.
And
actually, what Kerrang did for you, then, Kate, was gave you the skills and the training to carve out a career that you've got now, where you're, you know, second to Chris Evans, the biggest name on Virgin Radio. Mm. And, you know, that in itself says a lot about how hard you've worked.
Yeah, I'm so glad I made that choice, because obviously DJing is fun. Every Saturday and Sunday night, sometimes a Friday night as well, DJing in nightclubs, being ploughed with alcohol and listening and playing your favourite music in the world at that time it was... I had the time of my life, but it was time to stop and like start paying off my credit cards. I was in so much debt as well.
Were you?
Because I didn't know how to save for tax or VAT. I was so like, what? Hang on a minute. So I've been paid, but I've got to save some money. Now I'll sort that. I'll worry about that later. And then you get a huge tax bill in, and you're like, oh shit! I really should have saved that instead of spending it all in Ibiza. That was a shame. But I don't regret it, because my 20s were fun, and I know that there's no FOMO now that I'm. You know, I like to go out on a Saturday evening just to the pub, have some food and go home and snuggle my dogs. So I guess that Big Brother and choosing
the radio
gig.
You didn't mention Bodge there. Just.
Oh, he knows he comes second to Baxter and Shirley. He's all right. That's so bad, isn't it? But yeah, so that's mine, Candy.
Oh, probably along the same lines. I suppose going on Bake Off was probably a big decision, or applying for Bake Off, actually.
Yeah, whose idea was it? Yours?
Mine, which was very out of character, because I actually applied 3 times. It really was 3 times lucky.
Really?
Yeah.
So what you'd applied for the first, second,
yeah,
which ones?
So just so the years previous, so it would have been, so 16 was when I got on, I applied 15 and 14. And yeah, it was a weird one for me to apply myself because I loved the show and I loved baking. It was never a case of, oh, I could do that. I never sat and watched it and thought, yeah, I could do that, I could do that. It was, oh, I'd love to be part of that. And I just thought I'd really, really love to be part of the whole programme and the whole, all the baking and all that side of things. But confidence wise and sort of, I suppose, mental health and things like that were at quite a low when I actually applied that third time. So I think there was a little bit of a worry from friends and family, like, one, are you okay? You've put yourself out there to do this. Two, can you cope? And three, like, this is amazing. You are a good baker. And I never thought to myself, oh, I am good. I loved it so much. It's probably one of the only things I felt quite natural doing. And yeah, to apply and then to get on was just, I mean, completely life-changing. I went from being a secondary school teacher, struggling. I mean, we were talking before we came on about how good teachers are leaving the profession because they're just not being looked after. And I was really battling with that in my head a little bit. And baking was kind of my outlet. Baking was kind of my outlet for everything.
So you'd have a tough day at school where the system was very much at times working against you, and go home and get yourself raising flour out and just work it out.
Bake more than what I knew what to do with. I would come home and bake, and my mate would text her, so what are you doing? I'd say I'm baking. She'd be like, right, I'll be over, because she knew maybe, like, I don't know, something was a bit amiss. Or
so see, like, when I get really stressed, I clean. Was baking your de-stressor?
Yeah, it's my outlet. It still is. It's my happy place, it's my sad place, it's my stress place. It was interesting, actually, when one of the chefs started, he said, when I watched you first bake, I thought you were in a bad mood with everybody. He said, because you go from just blah, 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 blah. They call me the bumblebee because I bumble about. I'm in the way. Because when you bake, it's just, I don't know, you're in your own little bubble and it's head down and you almost like hunch over, and that is your place and that is you doing that. And it is, it still is. And people will say, well, what's your go-to thing to relax? It's baking. What's your go-to thing to make you happy? Baking. But I suppose having a second one from that was actually leaving teaching and that security of not really a 9-to-5, because I suppose teaching can sometimes be a 24-hour-a-day job, as I kind of well know. You sleep, eat, live and breathe it. But actually leaving that to become self-employed. And my head teacher, who was just incredible, Ashlyn's school, just needs to give them a massive, like, thank you, because they were just so supportive. And he actually said to me, I was still teaching during Bake Off, after Bake Off, after it was announced that I won. And he said, what are you doing? And I said, well, he said, go and do that and to take that kind of step. And I literally did just leave. There was no kind of, he was like, we're not going to make a big thing out of it. You just literally just have Friday as your last day and just go and do this. And
when he says do this, he meant go and see what's there
and
follow your dream.
Write for the Sunday Times and go and do appearances and bake or cook on live TV and do these different things and enjoy it. And I remember sort of saying, I had to fill in a form and it was like employment status. And I was like, oh my God, I'm unemployed. And Liam was like, no, you're self-employed. There's a difference.
Yeah.
And it was massive because, and also I didn't know what was going to happen. You come out of it, I think, thinking, oh, I've just been on a show that's amazing. And I really did go into it thinking, I just really want to be part of this show, never knowing what was going to come out of it. And I think as a year, we were so lucky. We were a 12 and our love was baking. We had no ulterior motive. We had no preconceptions about what was going to happen afterwards. We had no expectations and we still don't. And I'm still exactly the same. And people say, well, what do you expect? And I say nothing, because I never had it before. Mm. I just loved every second of it.
But you still write for Sunday Times, don't you?
Yes, because I'm really posh, so...
I'm not laughing because you're not posh, I'm just laughing.
I always say that.
How brilliant is that?
Right, it's
you
amazing.
You get to write for one of the classiest publications in the world about something you love.
I am pretty classy, sitting in my dungarees and my walking boots.
Absolutely.
Because you're training up to do a big charity trek in the Himalayas, we need to... flag that, because you're going away with Nadia Sawala,
Frankie Bridge, Olivia Buckland,
and Giovanna Fletcher. We've had the girls on the show talking about that trip, so wishing you lots and lots of luck. and love
Thank
that.
You.
Love and that would, and again, you know what? You wouldn't be doing that with those women had you not made those big decisions.
No, and do you know what? Every day, I just, it sounds cliche, but I am, I know people say, oh, your life's changed. I just sound so lucky. But I think one of the things on Bake Off, I wasn't the best baker in the town. I always say that. I worked so hard and I put everything into it. And when I say everything, I put our savings for a house into it.
What?
Because I had to work hard. Because
you put your savings for the house into Bake Off?
Practicing. So practicing, buying ingredients, buying antiques from France to put my bakes on, to wearing
clothes. You bought antiques
clothes.
From France?
I know.
She went all out.
I went all out.
You might have really gone a little bit too far with that.
Yeah,
she
but I had
off,
to.
But she was living on the street when she
found
out.
Exactly. Yeah, I was eating like mouldy bread.
Can I just say you were the best baker in the tent because you won?
But it was just hard work. Like, I worked really hard. But yeah, I mean, what else are you going to put fondant fancies on? A child's 100-year-old miniature French piano? Of course you are. Like, it was fun, a little story.
But I love that dedication to detail.
But that's what it was. It was, I got one chance, and Liam said, then you got one go at this. Do it, go all out. And the whole thing with the lipstick, I was absolutely shitting myself. So the lipstick was almost like, right, whack a bit of lipstick on, you're fine.
It's oh my God, the cake that looked like a lipstick.
Don't.
Do you remember? But it actually didn't. It looked like a tally worker.
No, yeah, the lipstick. Oh God, I went back. It looked like a dog
it
stick.
Did. No, it didn't.
Yes. I went back and
did. How did I miss this?
I went back and I did the New Year version.
Oh. And it wasn't on your run that you won on?
No.
Where you did a massive lipstick
knock. It was supposed to be like fun and like hearty, then a New Year version. Right, Showstopper has got to be a New Year's resolution cake. I thought, do you know what? It's fun. I can't wait to get back in there. I'm going to make a cake that looks like a giant pair of lips and a lipstick, because my New Year's resolution is to wear more lipstick. Thought I was being funny. Yeah, brilliant. Looked like a massive dog stick. Like,
it was
so
great.
Bad. And then at one point it started to like sag and fall as well. And Noel Fielding kept coming over and doing very rude stuff to it. And I thought it was hilarious. Everyone else thought it was hilarious.
You didn't win that one then, no?
No. I thought it was
What have you been by?
A very, very heartfelt, beautiful cake about talking more and talking to people. So I went down the route of having lots of fun and being a bit of a knob story in my life, and then made a knob.
No, it was more like as well a tongue-in-cheek kind of you know, the trolls as well,
yeah,
wasn't
absolutely.
It? Of the lipstick
absolutely.
Comments.
Absolutely.
But it was a great looking cake. It's just
I've just googled it.
The Great British Bake Off is
dog's
full of
penis.
Yeah, it is. Dogs. It looks like completely different
lipstick.
It's just
lipstick. A total dog's penis.
Show me again.
Yeah, there it is.
Oh, that looks like Baxter's Willy.
Oh my God, it looks like.
I mean, equally, it could be a lipstick.
Candice is on phallic form with lipstick cake. Great headline.
Oh, that's the Metro.
Oh, it was funny.
It was so
you didn't mean
funny.
But the thing is, the Bake Off is the one show where it's innuendo central, isn't it?
Oh,
like
my God,
any
I
excuse
love
for
it.
An innuendo, they make it. So you
that's
doing a lipstick.
Genius.
They used to call me Babs in the tent because obviously I'm from London, so the accent is there. But the innuendo thing is just so me. I was definitely born in the wrong era. Carry On, Pink Panther, all that sort of thing I just love, and that sort of humour. And they used to call me Babs in the tent. And I actually got to meet Dame Barbara Windsor just after Bake Off, and I probably been the closest I've been to pooing my pants meeting someone ever. And I was talking to her and I said, they used to call me Babs in the tent. She went, they used to call you Babs. I went, yeah. And she went, but here, where are your bosoms? And I went, do you know what, Babs? I've been asking myself the same thing for 32 years.
I love
but,
that.
Yeah, and it's
but
weird.
Yeah, where's your bosoms?
Where are your bosoms? And I think, do you know what? When again, it comes back to just being so lucky. And I got to meet one of my absolute heroes. And now I'm an ambassador for Alzheimer's research. And she, just bless her, is suffering with struggling
as
with Alzheimer's
granddad.
As my granddad did, and you just think, gosh, and yeah, and just those life-changing decisions have led to crazy stuff like that, and I'm just so lucky. Like, I get very overwhelmed sometimes.
Do you?
Yeah, massively.
Yeah, because it's all quite fresh and recent as well.
Yeah, but I know I'm so lucky, and it is. I never ever stop. I always say thank you, because I just like coming on, being asked coming to this, I'm grateful for food festivals that I asked to do. I'm like, thank you for having me, thank you, I know how lucky I am. Aww. So yeah,
it's good to be grateful and thankful.
It is always.
I'm in the shower every morning, I'm so this is when I do my gratitude. I practice gratitude in the shower. I'll be naked, I'll just be washing myself head to toe in shampoo, and I'll be like, thank you for thank you for my fingers, thank you for my toes, thank you for still being able to see. I start thanking about everything that I'm happy for. Thanks for the dog still being here, thanks for the handsome, thanks for having, for my parents still being, I just go through it every day. Not every day I'm thanking for the fingers and toes, but like little things, or just being able to walk the dogs, have the use of my legs, and I'm going to work today, thanks for my job, thanks to, like, thanks
good
to my
way
friends.
Thinking just about stuff.
I like that.
Good. Makes you feel good.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm in a corner.
Why are you washing your bum? Like, thank you.
Why I'm washing my bum all? Oh,
with shampoo.
With shampoo.
You don't even bother with body wash, do you? Such a bloke.
Do you know what? I haven't got time to practice gratitude anywhere else. And while I'm washing my fanny, that's where I'll do it. All right?
With shampoo.
Right, ladies, can I top you up?
Oh, sure.
Just
this
give me
is
the
lovely,
bottle.
Actually.
Come on, you got my favourite white wine. Chablis. Do you love a Chablis?
Drinks are served and question number two is coming through. We've chatted on this podcast in the past a lot about the highs of motherhood and the lows of motherhood. But one thing we've never dedicated a conversation to is the happiness that comes with not having children. Those that choose to live a child-free life. And obviously, Kate, that's kind of the side of fence you're sitting on at the moment. Bodge really wants you to have a baby. Mm-hmm. You are becoming less and less inclined. Candice, I haven't even asked where you stand on this.
Yeah, do you know, it's a funny one because we would love children. We've just had our first wedding anniversary. We've been together, gosh, I think nearly 7 years. I don't know, I've forgotten. It's been that long. and we would love children. And I think it's the first thing, and it's probably one of the things that pisses me off the most. When are you going to have... I'm 34, I'm 35.
You've got loads of time.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're lucky.
But people just think it's all right to ask you. Mm. And to tell you, like a taxi driver the other day, like I said
sorry,
to
and I've just asked you as
no,
well.
No, that's completely different. It's like, have you got children? When are you having them? You should be having them, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, okay. But actually, sometimes things don't work the way you want it to work. And people don't understand that. People have got no idea what someone might be battling inside, someone might be struggling with or have been the last however many years. And I think you just need to be mindful. And I'm a massive person for not. I don't talk about my feelings. It's one of the things I've never really... And I don't really open up massively about things. Like I've touched on mental health and stuff like that. But actually, pregnancy and having kids and things, it's a very, very private thing. And I think... Is that down to social media and is it down to this whole... Because you can put your life on social media, it opens it up for everybody thinking that they can ask you questions or touch your stomach or question or just assume or, oh, you don't want kids. Why don't you want kids? Well, that's got absolutely nothing to do with you, actually. Mm. Like, it's a funny one. But for me, I think we would love children, but actually... People have got no idea that sometimes your body doesn't work the way you want it to, and that's really hard.
It is.
Yeah. But people don't understand that.
Oh, can I give you a hug?
Can I give you a hug? This bloody table's massive.
But people just assume, and I think that's really difficult.
They do. They make these wild assumptions that the ring's on the finger, therefore the bum must be
absolutely
soon to be in the oven. And so, you know, I have lots of friends that have been through multiple routes to parenting, and equally, Kate, lots of friends that have chosen that's not the route for them.
Yeah.
You know, and that's cool too. Mm. Everybody has to find their own way in life.
I think there is a shift in society more recently, which is why I felt it was important to open up this conversation on a podcast. Yeah.
I think you've given a voice to a lot of women that are scared to say, I don't want kids.
Well, I thought I was the only person that felt like this until I did this podcast. I certainly didn't have any friends that shared my view.
Really?
No, none of my friends shared my view.
I've had quite difficult conversations with girlfriends who have felt wrong because they don't want kids. And they go, what's wrong
like
with me? I'm like, Jesus Christ, trust me. I mean, I love being a mum and I didn't want to be a mum until I wanted to be a mum. You know, and it just, I woke up one day and I felt differently. And I don't know where it came from, but it did. But if you were in any way undecided, it doesn't just change your life. It changes everything. Mm-hmm. The way you feel, think, live, operate. It changes everything. And if you're not sure, don't do it. Mm. You know, not unless your heart is so in it. Because it takes everything from you. Not that I'm saying don't have a baby, by the way. That was advice to my girlfriend, not to
you. It's great advice, but it's hard because women are being given more opportunities in life nowadays, which is great.
With you, Kate, it's such a personal preference. And it's sometimes, you know, you just want to go, it's got absolutely fuck all to do with you.
You know, like if you saw a woman with a bump and you said, oh, you're pregnant. So why do you want a baby? Imagine saying that to a woman, how personal and how offended they would be.
But that's
so when you get asked, like, why don't you want kids? That's what you were put on this planet to do. It's not really, though, not every woman. And I've been accused of pushing a feminist agenda by encouraging women not to have kids. Have you heard of these antinatalists in America?
I can't think of anything more irresponsible than encouraging somebody to be responsible for another life if they don't want to.
If they don't want to, or if they're not sure.
That's why you two love dogs. I actively choose to not own a dog because I can't give it the love and time and commitment.
It's exactly right.
Because I have a son, and I know lots of other people do, but
that's a good thing.
That's my choice, right? Mm-hmm. Is that I love dogs, but I just can't commit to having one. Mm-hmm. Why should the same rules not apply to human life?
Really, really good way of thinking about it.
Yeah, but I imagine there are women out there who have wanted kids all their life, and then they've had a kid, and it's not what they expected or not what they thought it would be. Mm-hmm. I imagine.
Yeah, that's probably every mother.
There are many children. Yeah. Yeah. We did an episode with Scummy Mummies.
What do you mean? There's no time off.
And Ellie said to me, you're kind of in the best possible situation because you think it's going to be the worst thing ever. So she went, you're not going into parenthood thinking this is going to be great. It's like going to be it is in the movies where you're going to live happily ever after and you're going to have a child and it's just going to be great. She went, you're thinking this is going to be awful. I'm not going to have a good kid. I'm not going to be a good parent. I'm going to regret my decision. She was like, so I can guarantee you now, she went, you can only get better from there. She went, and you are doing this podcast. You're going to be able to make a proper informed decision.
You will. What's interesting is like you talk about on the podcast the things that you gain from not having kids. And I think not a lot of people kind of do that. And the only people that do that are parents that go, you jammy git. Yeah. Look at you reading a whole newspaper. How's that coffee when it's hot? What's it like having a shower on your own? How is it taking a poo without somebody talking to you through the door.
Yeah, we're quite lucky, aren't we?
Some starters
we're
there.
We're quite lucky. Good. I don't want to be all like high and mighty, like how we don't have kids, because I imagine it's great having a kid.
It's amazing. It's beautiful. It steals your heart. It changes your world. I wouldn't change it for anything. However, so you're still not decided, Kate?
No. I feel like if I didn't have dogs, I might want a kid. I feel like my doggies have filled perhaps a void.
Maybe if the baby was really hairy.
Because
I was really hairy.
On this week's episode, Bodge had said, I won't, you know, this isn't the end of us if we don't have children together. I've found you. I want to spend the rest of my life with you.
But ideally,
I would like to spend the rest of my life with you and our child.
I know. But he can only say that because that's how he feels now, right? Who says in 3 or 4 years' time, if I haven't changed my mind, if he'll...
Well, you're going to going for fertility tests as well, aren't you? So you're treating this like a really well-researched project. You are saying, okay, I'm 39. Let's go to a fertility expert and we'll see what our chances are. Do we have time on our side? Do we have any chance? What? And you're doing this. You're living this through the podcast. That's Bodgy's really sister, brave, Kate.
Well, Bodgy's sister said that. She said you should have gone to the fertility clinic and done it first before telling everybody you were going to put it in an episode, because I might get there and she's like, you're all dried up. Sorry, it's never going to happen.
But then that's real life, right? Because that will be a lot of people's experiences.
Yeah, I said to Bodgy, well, we've chosen to do the podcast. We've been very open about how we feel. We might get told, it might be bad news. It might be good news. It might be bad news. We don't know. We'll cross that bridge when we come to it. And I think maybe the reason I really want to do this fertility test is because I want to know how I'll feel if she tells me it's bad news, you've got hardly any eggs left, or you've got none whatsoever. Maybe I'll be relieved if she says you haven't got any, because then the decision's taken out of my hands anyway. Mm-hmm. And then I start, you know, when you start thinking into it, because you're a woman and you think about everything, what if we do the fertility test? She says it's never going to happen. And then Bodge calls off the wedding because he's like, I know that I'm never going to have your kids, but I'm not going to... I've got over that now. I feel like whatever happens, happens. Honestly, like yesterday, I was having I'm never going to do it. And last night in bed, we were talking about it. Whenever we talk about the decision, we always get a little bit aggy with each other.
Yeah.
And we were in bed. It was really late. I was really tired. And I was just like, oh, God, after doing all this research recently, I just almost feel like I'm even more petrified of doing of doing it, of trying for a baby than I was before we even started this podcast. So it's kind of backfired because he was hoping it would convince me to have a baby.
Yeah.
And he went, why are you so scared of everything in life? He went, you are literally here once, Kate. He was, you always seem to be running away from things. You said you don't want to get married just in case we get divorced. You don't want to have a baby just in case something's wrong with it. He said, you're always running away from things. He said, just face your fears and do it. He said, you're here once. And he was like, just take every experience that's thrown at you in life instead of running away from them. And I was a bit like, all right. And I thought to myself, yeah, he's right. We are only here once. We don't know when it's all going to end. Maybe I should just try for a baby and see what happens. I don't know if I'm going to be able to carry a baby to full term. I don't know if, you know, anything is going to be wrong with it until it's born. You don't know if a baby's going to be healthy for the whole of its life. You just don't know. You have to take that risk. And he's like, we're in this together. We're getting married. We'll get through it together.
See, that you've made the decision to spend the rest of your life with somebody. That's a big commitment.
Yeah. And he said, you know what? If you think, because I said, well, the thing is, Bodge, I got all defensive. And I was like, we've got a great life now. Nothing is stressful. Whereas every mum and dad always says to us, it's really stressful. It's really awful. At times you'll be like at 3 a.m. when the baby's screaming and we're like, why did we do this? And they're like, but it's great at the same time. I was like, every parent always says to us, it's so hard. It's so difficult. And then they say, but it's really rewarding. I was like, right now, our dogs bring us nothing but joy. We don't have that, oh, it's so hard. We just have joy. And he went, but life isn't like that. Life is going to throw so many things your way. Like, people are going to die that you love. Everyone, you're going to get ill. Stuff might happen. He was like, if you think that us not having a kid will just mean we have a perfect life, you're wrong.
You need to marry this man, Kate. He sounds really good.
He does.
No, but he talks a lot of sense, right?
Because actually, me having a... It's just one part of our life, right? There's going to be lots of obstacles that we have to face.
But if there is a voice inside you going, I don't want to do it, you owe it to yourself to listen to that as well.
But the voice changes constantly. Honestly, last week I was like... Let's go upstairs now. Do it. Let's go. Let's have a baby. I'm
beautiful.
Done. So romantic. So romantic.
And that's how babies are.
And
made.
He couldn't get it up because of the way I spoke to him. No, that was a joke.
You're honest, but Kate. No. And it's just, I love the fact that you've put this dialogue out and that you're brave enough to do that.
And actually, one of the worrying things is so I thought I was alone, but so many women have got in touch saying, married, been married, got cats or got dogs, don't have kids. It's the best thing ever. And so now I'm like, so there are loads of men and women in relationships where...
Who don't have kids,
who don't have children, or men and women and women who have different views on whether they want to be parents or not, who are happy and they've made the decision not to and they are happy.
Mm. Whatever the difference is, you're in a relationship where you both have different...
I know.
...wants. And as much as it shows how much you love Bodge to say you want to do it for him, but it's a big thing to do for someone else, Kate.
I know.
Mm.
Do you think I'll change my mind next
year?
Yeah,
what do you think, Candice?
God, I don't know. And I think that's okay. I think you need to stop putting pressure on yourself to change your mind or things like that. If it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. I think you're amazing in what you're kind of doing, and you're probably giving other people an outlet that maybe have never had an outlet or an understanding of it that people have never had really an understanding or I have these feelings, I'm on my own. No, actually, you're not on your own. But I think you need to stop beating yourself up. If it happens, it happens. And I think I think that's an amazing thing to go like to the fertility clinic and do that as well, because that might change the way you think about things. But I think at the end of the day, it's your body, it's your mind, it's your decision. Yeah. And I think that's what you need to remember.
Are you ready for your final question?
Ooh, go on then.
More wine, come on.
Now that I've had a glass of wine, I'm definitely ready.
Candice, top up?
Always.
Kate?
No, I'm on air at 4, better not. Better not do a show pissed.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Okay, your final question. I once threw a roast chicken hot out of the oven at a boyfriend in a fit of hormonal madness when he tried to tell me how better to cook it.
What a waste of chicken.
I know. I still ate it.
Oh, good. I was going to say it.
I disagree. I don't think that is a waste of a chicken. I think throw it at him.
I ate it on my own because he quite rightly left the building.
Yes, right? Good.
I just wondered, have your hormones ever got the better of you and prohibited you from showing your very best self?
I thought the question was going to be, what's the most random item you've thrown at an ex-boyfriend?
Well, all that could do that.
I thought you were going to ask him what's your favourite sandwich filling. I was about to say hot chicken.
I don't think we're going to beat hot chicken.
With a side of pissed off boyfriend.
Yeah. I love that you threw a roast chicken at
Well, I mean, I have to take medication for my hormones now. So, I mean, I would lose control of myself. So I had proper hormonal red mists.
I think all my friends can relate to being hormonal. We all band about that time. I'm really hormonal.
But has it ever made you behave in a way that is unacceptable?
Well, you hear all the time. I've never really... Oh, God, this is so naive of me. But I look back at... I think maybe it was previous relationships, but I look back at how tapped I was in previous relationships and how aggressive we were. But the thing I think, was that the relationship or was that my hormones? Back then when I was on the pill... Shortly after meeting Bodge, or a couple of years after, in fact, sorry, about 4 years after being in a relationship with Bodge, because we did 2 years long distance, so we didn't see each other that much. But I remember coming off the pill because my friend just gave me, like, she shipped me up. She said, there's loads of downsides to being on the pill. If you're on it for a long time, you should come off it and practice safe sex another way. So we started doing that. And even though my periods are worse, I think to myself, I'm a lot calmer.
But without the pill.
Without the pill, but...
See, I'm the opposite.
But then I think, is it the relationship? I don't know. Maybe it's the relationship I'm in. He's encouraged me to be more calm and less aggy.
Do you ever have those days where you think, I know what I'm doing is irrational or wrong. You've got no control over the way you behave because your hormones dictate. Mm-hmm. Or am I just being lazy and excusing my bad behaviour?
Do you get premenstrual tension?
Yeah,
stress?
I think mine's emotional. Mine's tears, and it's not often I get angry. It's not often I get angry. I don't think I'm a very angry person. I don't think I am sort of an aggressive person. It takes a lot for me to sort of teeter over the edge, but actually, I have no line between anger and tears, and it was the same as a teacher growing up. The way sort of if I react to anything now, I can talk and talk and talk and I can feel that anger. And I think, don't cry because you're angry. Don't cry. Keep this because you are trying to get that side of things across. Don't cry. And then it just, so there's no line. And then the tears come and then they've gone from trying to either prove a point or getting something across or being annoyed and angry to being, in my head, pathetic, because now you're just crying and now you look like an absolute penis. And sometimes it's okay, and then other times I am just like, fucking hell, I'm actually nuts. Like, stop crying about Bradley Cooper in A Star Is Born.
You're like me. I'm so like you.
Stop crying.
I cry at anything.
About The Shallows. In the Shallows.
shallows going round and round in my head, right? Sort your life out.
It's really...
Stop singing the shallows. I can find myself bubbling. Like, you watched this several months ago, and in my head, shall I watch it again? No, don't watch that fucking film again, because that will be you for another week.
Listen, do you think that's out. Bad? Like, sometimes if I can feel... Like, last week I just had... I think it was Thursday night. I was doing some laundry. My boyfriend came down into the utility room, and I sat on the stairs, and I was trying to say to him, I'm fine, because he's got a lot on at the moment, and I'm trying not to kind of, like, add to his load. And then I was just couldn't turn around because suddenly my eyes just sprang water, yeah. Right? And I thought, these aren't even tears. I've just got like cartoon squirty eyes.
Leaking.
So leaky eyes, right? So he's like, you all right? You okay? And I'm just like, so I was like, it's really hard to explain to you because you're like, I just don't do this very often. I'm normally quite a together person. And like, my eyes just won't stop squeaking. And and then he's like, well, what's wrong? I was like, I don't know. I can't even make sense of it. But right now, if you're being really kind and deep down, I probably hate you.
Isn't it so fucked up?
But what's loving you for being so lovely? What the fucking hell is wrong with
me? It's really weird. Imagine if the guys did that once a month. Like, because I see Martin, I keep calling him Martin, I hate that name, Bodge.
That's his actual name.
I know,
name,
but
babe.
I hate calling him that.
Everyone went, what? Everyone's going,
Martin.
Who the fuck's Martin? You got another dog?
No,
it's Bodge. Oh, right, Bodge, handsome.
He's got a million names. Bodge, when I'm having a real moment, bitch moment, or sad moment in the month, he doesn't know how to deal with it because he's learned to deal with it because we've been together 6 years. But there'll be times. The other day we were glamping and I could tell I was due on because I put on some lipstick and he went, oh, that lipstick's quite intense. And I wanted to punch his face. I was like, sorry, what? And then I didn't say anything. He said, that lipstick's quite intense. That's all he said. And I looked in the mirror and I was like, he hates me. He thinks I'm ugly. He thinks my lipstick's awful. And my eyes filled up with water and I walked off and I was like, oh, he didn't say my lipstick looks nice. And I was like, I'm definitely due on my period. Because I didn't have any other makeup on, but the first thing I did was put lipstick on, which I never do. And it did. To be fair, it did look very intense. And I was like, he's speaking the truth. He's speaking the truth. You're just nuts. It's your due on.
I tell you what.
And you get like the dodo. I can't watch the dodo when I'm due on because I'm a bloody mess.
Oh,
you know,
God,
the dodo.
No, dogs.
With
the
dodo.
Animals.
Oh, my goodness.
Like
the dodo.
The animal that like look like a dog that like adopted it. A tortoise.
Have you not,
now
do you not follow
like,
the dodo?
Yeah.
No.
Maybe it's not a good idea.
Maybe it's dodo's great. It's great. If you want to feel good about yourself. The dodo shares really positive animal stories from around the world and they always end in positive, this is great, animals are the best.
The sort
and these,
of thing
and human beings are lovely.
As a head of year, I'd show in assembly if we were like doing, the theme was friendship.
Yeah.
I'd go on and I'd find a video about a dog and a cat that are best friends on the dodo. But
like a llama and a dog are best friends.
So
and they show their friendship. But you'll
it's
never
like the
have
animal
a negative.
Kingdom does positive means.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
And
yeah.
It's
lovely.
Humans being lovely to animals, which, you know, far too often we see animal abuse on the internet. And so this flips on your head. You only ever see positive animal stories and humans being kind to animals.
Yeah.
But if I watch it when I'm due on, I cry like mad.
It's like emotional porn.
And Bodge will come upstairs.
Emotional porn.
Bodge will come upstairs. I don't know about that. To do animals.
When I'm bad, though, an advert can come on and I'm done.
Yeah. Like, even something positive will make you cry. Like last night, we watched an episode of The Handmaid's Tale. I was crying my eyes out. A child was reading a storybook about dinosaurs, and its mum was sat next to him, and she'd been in Gilead, and she'd gone through the worst thing ever. So
like
I was just
program.
Watching it crying my eyes out. Bodge was just like, are you okay? I was like, no.
I'll tell you what, this is quite interesting, though, because there is this assumption that women are more hormonal than men, but men are moved and that we think that they're kind of more logical in how they approach things. But the truth is men are as hormonally driven as women. They have a number of hormonal cycles. They have one every 24 hours, which kind of mimics PMS.
Every 24 hours?
Mm-hmm. I heard about this a little while ago, yeah.
I'm just guessing that most of the time it happens they're asleep. There are daily cycles
or when they first wake up.
And their testosterone is higher in the morning and lower at night.
I mean, I joke to Bodge, if he's an arsehole to me, I'll say, you're due on, hun.
Yeah.
As a joke, but I didn't know they went through the same sort of
stuff. No, we have that. But also, I'll tell you what my favourite thing is.
And their testosterone goes up and down 4 or 5 times an hour. Okay. So maybe we should cut them some slack.
We should. I didn't know that.
It's bad enough once a month, let alone like 5 times an hour.
You learn something new every day.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Do they bleed, though?
No, they don't bleed.
Do they have to push a watermelon out of their vagina?
Nope.
So they don't bleed unless you throw a chicken
in
their head.
We still win.
But you know, in all of this, my favourite thing... Yeah, should we just throw a hot chicken at their face?
That's when they bleed.
I think my favourite thing
I'd like to add here that the tin was attached. Because you know when they stick to the bottom of the tin, so there was a bit of tin as well.
It would have cushioned it.
Oh, my goodness.
It would have been fine. I think my favourite thing, though, is when you are emotional, and Liam has done it to me a few times, is it's just because you're due one, isn't it?
Yeah.
Go on. Do you want to mention that again? Go on. Yeah.
Do you want to say that again? Do you want to be able to walk out of here having said that again? Like, and actually, they're completely right.
No, absolutely. Are you all very sad at the moment? Is it because you're due one?
Yeah, I apologise to God once a month. I'm like, really sorry, but...
I always,
you know what's
and I'm still
I'm
surprised
an
every
reason.
Month I go, oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Why is it a realisation for us every single month?
Well, I was at the Mary Claire Awards the other night, and one of the winners was Emma Barrett.
Barrett. Yeah, who's written the book about periods.
And I think probably one of the best things I've ever heard in my life, it was the best quote of the night, probably in my life. She was working amongst men. She'd written the book about periods, and she was saying, like, stop hiding your tampon, not up your sleeves. Like, all right, we still do that, don't we? And it's still a real taboo. It's just weird. It's a weird taboo subject.
Even though when you're unloading your trolley in the supermarket and you put your tampons on the thing,
you think, on top.
Don't look up. They beat it, put it in the bag. Why? What's wrong with it?
But it's that weird thing. But she said, so one of the guys that she was working with, and she said, oh, I've written a book, and he said, oh, what's the book about? And she said, oh, periods. And he said, oh, what period have you written about? And she went,
brilliant.
No, she went, the one in my pants.
Yeah.
And she said he went white, and she just went, anything else? And she went, why? He looked like he was going to pass out, throw up, everything. Good. What period did you write about? Oh, yeah, no, the one in my pants.
Brilliant.
And I just thought, it's still such a weird taboo subject, but it happens to half the people in the world.
Yeah. And I really want to read this book, and good on her, because, you know what?
Amazing. It's great.
Even bolder, a decision to publish a book about periods when you have only recently secured a job on News Newsnight.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I love the fact that she's there and she's doing that. And she's
this will really help young girls.
Oh, absolutely.
I think now I'm not, I mean, I'll go into a chemist and I'll put my super plus on the side. I don't care. I'm like, yep, I bleed for days. I don't care. But when I was a teenager, I was really embarrassed about having
a period. I didn't tell my mum for months. Yeah. I used rolled up tissue.
Oh, did you? I was so embarrassed.
Oh, do you know what? That's really, oh my goodness.
Because I was just embarrassed. I was quite late starting. I was the frigid, ugly one at school, and I was quite late starting. No boobs. I look like a boy. I still do. It's great. I don't care.
You and I have so much in common. Yeah. I was a late starter. I had no boobs.
And you just think, actually, like, it's my kind of, like, I feel like as I've got older, it's now like, actually, no, we all have periods, we all have boobs of different sizes, we've all got marks and stretch marks and spots and funny teeth, or are some of us, well, no, actually, no, nobody's perfect, because that's just fucking Instagram filters, but actually, talk about all those things, and periods is one of them, and actually, those hormones that make us behave crazy isn't actually our fault.
No. I'm going to read this book.
I am as well.
I'm going to read this
amazing.
Book.
I love that.
I feel like I'm going to go and write one.
The one in my pants.
I'm going to call it Hot Chicken.
The Hot Chicken. The Chicken That Flew.
Yeah. Oh, girls, thank you for coming in.
It's been amazing.
Oh, it's good. Thank you for your honesty. It's my absolute joy and pleasure.
It's been so good.
To sit and chat with you and try to figure out whether or not Kate's going to have a baby. You're still out.
If you're still doing the podcast next year and I change my mind,
let me know, babe.
Yeah, I'll be coming back for all the advice, please. And thank you so much for having me.
Oh,
I'm sorry about my potty mouth. I do have a tendency to swear when I'm nervous.
Don't worry, you're a monster over here.
I was brought up in a pub, but blame my dad.
Candice is about to take off to the Himalayas with the Copperfield crowd. If you click on the link in her bio on her Instagram page, you can show some support by way of donations. It's phenomenal.
Yeah.
There's hundreds of you, seemingly.
Yeah. It's just over 100 of us, four team leaders, just over 100 of us. My poor team. I didn't even know where the Himalayas were, true story. So good luck to them. But yeah, it's all about just check yourself, men, women, young, old. Just check yourself, check each other. Obviously ask.
And we're going to do a follow-up podcast because we had Chris Helenger in with Nadia Sawala and Giovanna Fletcher. So they promised to come back. Can I tag you in on that one
please,
as well?
Please, and I'll bring a cake in the shape of boobies.
Listen, bring another croconut or whatever it was called.
Croconut.
Sorry, I've had a couple of glasses of wine.
It's okay. Good luck with your walk, babe.
Yeah,
I'm
going to
while I'm at
everyone else's as
Thank
well,
you, ladies. As always, if you'd like to get in touch with us, we love hearing from you. You can contact us on Instagram and Twitter. We are WhiteWineQT. You can drop us an email if you want to. We're really old-fashioned like that. We check them at least once every 3 weeks.
What's your PO box address?
Exactly.
Yeah, right,
send me a pigeon.
Pigeon.
As always, White Wine Question Time is produced by me, Kate Thornton, with Caitlin Marsa for Yahoo UK. And our music has been provided by the legend, the genius, the top five album scoring Andy Bell, who also has a solo album out with Glock. It's called Dissident. And the Ride album that has just come out is still floating around in the top 10. Check it out, as always, do as we try to do and drink responsibly. I'll see you next week.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.